Hello, welcome to episode 7 of the Bitcoin Game. I'm Rob Mitchell. The white hat hacker, known as Yoho, rescued over 870 bitcoins recently from addresses compromised by a temporary bug in blockchain.info's web wallet. I'm happy to let the world know that Johan is this hacker's real name. By day, he's a computer science researcher at a German university. He got involved in Bitcoin as a hobby in early 2013. This is also when Johan got interested in Bitcoin addresses made insecure due to transactions being signed with repeating R values. He first discovered this issue with a 2013 Android random number generator bug that affected Bitcoin wallet apps. Johan is often racing against other hackers to grab the Bitcoin in these addresses, and his opponents usually have no intention of returning any Bitcoin if they get it first. For links to various topics we discuss, go to thebitcoingame.com and find this episode's page. You can also leave a comment about this discussion. And now, here's my conversation with Johan, aka Yoho. Hello, Joho.
Yeah. Yes, Yohu. But I'm Jochen.
So I should call you Johan?
Yes, I think you can call me Jochen.
Okay, it's very good to meet you.
Yes, it's nice to be here, yes.
Have you had a Skype call to talk about this kind of stuff with anyone loosely representing media before?
Not with the media. I had a Skype call with, I think it's Coinbase. It's a web wallet, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was Coinbase, yes.
There seems to be maybe some competition between Coinbase and blockchain.info, so I guess that's not shocking to me. That's interesting. I feel honored to have you talking to me. I think most people in the Bitcoin world see you as a real hero. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, it was an exciting week. So I liked reading these comments about me, at least the good ones. There were some bad ones, but mostly good ones.
What bad things could people have to say?
There were some who said that they were thinking I was just breaking into blockchain info just to prove the security holes in there, which I actually didn't do. So I didn't even know that it was blockchain info before I saw the post that they were having this problem with the random number generator.
Oh, that's really interesting. And I guess that makes sense. They always do say there's no connection between them and your address. They can't see things. I know when I've asked them for support, they're like, we don't even know who you are. So I guess that's why I hear they're asking for passwords and all that.
Yes.
I saw you were originally doing the same type of work when there was the Android random number generator that wasn't working properly. Is that right?
That is correct, yes. That was when I opened the account. So I did this work. I think I started in April or May last year with Bitcoins. And I analyzed these problems with these duplicated R values. I think in May I had this program ready. And I regularly watched this. And in the beginning, there were few of these transactions, and they were getting more and more. And I noticed that other people were watching for them too, so it could happen that I logged in, found some newbie keys, and they were already emptied by other people.
How would you know they were emptied by someone looking rather than by the rightful owner?
It's easy if they use the same address over and over, because you see several different Bitcoin addresses, and they were all emptied to the same address.
Ah, got it.
And these were the only transaction to these address, only the from the weak addresses.
That makes sense. So you said you started in early 2013, basically. Now, that's when you got into Bitcoin or got into doing this work with Bitcoin?
That's actually also when I got into Bitcoin.
Well, we got into Bitcoin around the same time, but you obviously have a much greater technical knowledge, and I'm coming at from the perspective as a non-technical person. Can you explain what R values are? I hear the duplicate R values are how you crack this. What is an R value?
If you send money with Bitcoin, you have to sign your transaction. And the signature contains two parts. One is called the R value and the other the S value. And the R value is something like a second public key. There's also a private key, this is the K. And this private and public key are only valid for this signature. And the funny thing about the signature algorithm is if you use the same public key for the signature twice with the same public key for the original Bitcoin key. So if you use the same public key for the Bitcoin key and the same R value twice, then you can break both private keys from this.
Okay, so if you were to have Bitcoin in an address and never send any confirmation messages or anything and just spend it and clear it, would you ever be exposed to this issue?
So if you never send something, you never sign any transaction, and then you are not, then this issue doesn't apply. So only if you send money, it can happen.
I thought the best practice was from any address, whenever you spend any of it, you clear it and send the rest to a change address. Is that?
Yes, so this is the best practice, but actually it's not so much used, at least for the Android wallets. It was usually, they were always using the same address.
Interesting.
And sending the change also to this address.
So obviously blockchain.info is doing it that way also, right?
They are doing this, yes. So you generate some Bitcoin addresses, and usually you don't generate many of them.
So I have to say, just I always thought when I saw looked at my transactions from any wallets, I always thought I saw it being cleared and going to change wallet, but maybe I'm just not looking carefully enough. What percentage of transactions on the blockchain do you think do it, you know, the clean way versus keeping money in, or keeping value, keeping Bitcoin in the address?
I'm not really sure. I haven't done the statistics
okay.
for this. But at least for blockchain info wallets, it's rather typical to use the same address over and over again.
Then there's also a problem with the R value being duplicated. Now, what does that do to?
Yes, so if you use the same R value twice, then the private key is broken. The address where you sent the money from, I know the private key of this, and I can spend all the money that is still on this address or that arrives on this address.
So there was a bad random number generator that was causing that problem on the Android?
Yes, for Android, it was the system random number generator, which should be a secure random number generator. But for some internal reasons, it remembered its pool where it generated the random number from, it remembered it too long. So it could actually create the same random number some days later again, or sometimes some hours. It's basically an open SSL problem. If it's there are multi-threaded programs that create new threads, and if you do this with an open SSL program, then the threads can generate the same random numbers in some circumstances. And I think this was the problem with the Android.
Do you have any idea, guesses, or has blockchain described why they've been reusing these R values?
I know exactly why. They had an update to their website on this night from December 7 to December 8, and they had some code that should improve the random number generator. There were some minor changes that it used entropy from more sources.
Mm-hmm.
It was a minor thing. Unfortunately, there was a bug in this code. They didn't initialize one variable, and this led to the random pool being kept empty. So there was basically only one random number in from which they seeded their random number generator. It was just one 8-bit number.
You just brute force it, or you can figure out the private key?
First, I just looked for repeated values. So basically, everyone who started this application started with a similar random stream. So there were only 256 different possible random streams. So many users had the same random stream. And when they generated a random number at the same time, basically, they got the same R value. And this was quite common. So if they send a transaction, they usually take the first random number from the stream and then it's a duplicated R value.
So, I mean, a lot of people have used this as evidence that you should not keep your Bitcoin with a centralized source. And I mean, when I was getting into Bitcoin, I always felt, well, blockchain, they said, oh, we don't keep your private keys, I thought. And I knew there's two-factor authentication. And I thought, wow, this maybe with a two-factor authentication and everything is even more secure than something on my computer that could get hacked, but they hopefully wouldn't have my 2FA on my phone. But and I'm kind of making two points in my head as I'm thinking this out. But since the problem is really that of either a bug or something not working right with a random number generator, I mean, I suppose any Bitcoin client could have an issue like that.
Yes. The main difference is, the deployment. So the bug was present there, I think, for 2 hours. But because you automatically download always the latest version, many people got it immediately. And then they were all exposed to this bug. And after 2 hours, I think, or at least they said 2 hours, I think it could even be longer, they fixed this problem. But then it was basically already too late.
So this was a problem, you're saying, with the app that people might download to their phone?
No, the web application. So if they reload the browser, they load the new wallet code into the browser, and the browser is executing the code.
Okay, so that's good to understand. I'm familiar with a counter wallet, and I didn't realize it was a common thing. So it's really when you log into your blockchain wallet, basically your browser becomes an app. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so that's just those very simple things, you know. It's, you don't really realize when you're interacting with a server or if you're just being given code to run your own app. That's interesting. How many Bitcoins have you returned so far?
I have returned 870.
Wow. So it seems like there's been something you're doing that you're not giving all the details, and you thought it might not be easy to do exactly what you're doing. Is that correct?
This breaking of the keys. It's difficult to do this. I think there are some good explanations how to do this for if you have to in repeated value. If you look into this topic, it should be doable, but it takes a bit of work to have the programs ready.
People spend a lot of effort to try to steal Bitcoin or anything of value, I guess. Yet you're the one who's able to keep grabbing it. You're beating all the bad guys. Why do you think they haven't, at least up until now, been able to grab all this Bitcoin before you do?
I think it was both good timing, luck. So I watched this problem closely in the last days, because there was another application that was doing similar things, producing duplicated R values. And yes, I found a new key a week or something like that. And so I made it a habit to look after it every day. And then this morning, I found these 500 new weak keys, and I knew there was something going on here. Why was I the first? I think there are some people that are faster because they have everything automated. So they look if they see a transaction with duplicated R values, and they immediately crack it, and they can even try to spend the money before the transaction they saw was confirmed to double spend it. At least I saw a try of this. It didn't succeed. But my program is more thorough, so it can find duplicated R values even if the transactions are days apart. In this case, it was only hours, but still it can find all the duplicated R values. It can go through chains of these R values. So if it broke one key, it can often use it to break another key. So it's also possible to break other keys with one key if they were using the same R value again. And this is something that others didn't do.
And is that all you focus on, are these issues with R values, or do you look for any other weaknesses?
Up until now, it was only the R values. I am sure you noticed that I grabbed the first 250 Bitcoins on Monday, and then on Sunday I grabbed another 500 or 600. And this was because I started to look into the buggy applications. So I looked where the problem was, with the random number generator, and I simulated the random number generator and wrote my own random number generator that produced the same wrong random numbers.
How difficult was that to do?
It took me a few hours.
You actually were able to have your hands on that application, or just figure out what it was doing and recreate it that way?
I found a link where which was supposed to show where the buggy commit was. In fact, it wasn't the buggy commit. It was a commit that was fixing the buggy commit.
So it's like on GitHub or something?
Yes, exactly. So you can see every change the developer makes. You get a history of all the changes. But in this case, they rewrote the history. So they wrote it over the old history. And so the buggy commit was not possible to get from the repository. But still, in this commit, the developer commented what was the problem with the buggy code, which line was missing. This was my starting point to find out what the random numbers generator was producing.
Wow. And this was blockchain or something?
It was blockchain. Okay. Info.
So both times the past few days has been blockchain.info?
It was the same issue. The first time I only looked at repeated R values. I knew that these were generated by this buggy random number generator. I think this was in the first press publishing. Of course, I could only see these duplicated R values when two clients produced the same random numbers. There were still some people having the application in the browser open. So from time to time, there were new transactions with duplicated R values. And sometimes this made an earlier transaction exploitable. So it could happen that someone had the browser still open, he sent some money, and then he used a transaction that was used the day before, the same random number that was used the day before. And I could also break the address that was sending the money the day before. It was clear that if I know the random numbers, then I can basically generate all of them myself and find all the buggy transactions that were lingering in the blockchain that I couldn't even detect so far.
Amazing. Do you only look at addresses that are current, or do you ever look back in the history of addresses that still contain funds that were generated in the past years?
I have my script that can do both. So usually I only look at the last few blocks that came in the last few days. And I look there for duplicated R values. And if I crack a key, I have another script that tries to find all the money that was sent to this address. There I also can either look through the whole blockchain and find all money, or I can only look in the last blocks and then it's running a bit faster.
I'm asking because I'm just wondering over the past years how many addresses may have been created with a similar flaw in the repeated R values if there's a bunch of insecure Bitcoin addresses just floating out there in the past.
I know all the repeated R values in the past. I think there were 100 keys or so that I could break before September.
I know a number of people who've said they've lost Bitcoin from blockchain.info, and I was just wondering if this could have been an issue before, or if there were...
No, I think these were all other issues. These were problems with weak passwords or with keyloggers or...
So many ways. Ah, wow.
There was also the problems. There's this blockchain API where you can programmatically send Bitcoins if you have a server running. Then you can also send Bitcoins from your server with a program. Some people don't realize that if they put a password in there and this gets stolen, that other people can use it to send Bitcoins even if they changed the wallet password.
Ah.
Because they still have the server password from their program, their API password.
Wow. Is there anything else about this subject that you'd like to talk about?
One question that you could ask is, why had I to save the Bitcoin? Why did blockchain not do it themselves?
That is a great question.
The answer is quite simple, because they don't have the keys. So they store the keys for you, but they store them encrypted. They use your password to store the keys, and they don't store the passwords. So without the passwords, they cannot even decrypt the keys that they store in their database.
That's why they always seem so safe to me, because they can't steal from you. That sounded great.
Yeah, it was a bit of a disadvantage because they couldn't save your money. They could only hope that the right people will crack the address first.
I guess in theory they could have tried to do the work you're doing.
I'm not sure how many weeks I spent to write this program in the beginning, so...
Are there specific programming skills or languages that you feel helped you to tackle this better than the average person?
I think I'm a good programmer. Of course, here you also need to understand the mathematics about it, because it's all about cryptographic here with the elliptic curve cryptography. You need to know some mathematics, but I'm also good in that. So I had the right context to attack this problem.
And I hope you stay faster than the bad guys as crops up, as I'm sure it will once in a while. I assume, what do you think?
Yeah, it did go now three times, I think. The first one was the Android bug. Then there was a counter wallet bug in April, which was also producing duplicated R values. This is the third or fourth bug. There's another program that is producing duplicated R values, but we don't know which it is. It's still going on.
So you can enlighten me a little bit. I have different assets in a counter wallet, and I'd heard a little bit about this bug, just reading about what you were doing. What can you tell me about the counterparty bug?
I must admit, I never looked how counterparty really works. So they use the Bitcoin network to do their special counterparty transactions. And they use normal Bitcoin transactions, but with some things like multi-signature keys, where you need several signatures to send money from some address. And I think they encode some data in these multi-signature addresses.
If you have the private keys to any of these addresses, you can access all the counterparty assets.
Yes. So for me, it was just as if it were Bitcoin addresses and they used duplicated R values. And then I could crack the key and I could just access the money that was on the Bitcoin addresses. I think they also allowed to import private keys from other sources. So there were some people that were using this wallet with some addresses and they didn't even realize it was related to counter wallet when their money was stolen when they used the address later.
That's interesting. You found that counter wallet issue also?
Actually, I never admitted it, but I think I sweeped their 17 bitcoins or something like that. I'm not sure if you have read the story. So I had these 17 bitcoins and I read all over the Bitcoin talk that the bitcoins were lost and the authors of Counter Wallet actually asked for donations to refund the people who lost their money. They wanted to refund all the people, but they didn't have enough money for this. And so my conscience was getting a bit bad and I just sent the money back to the donation address. And it was very much appreciated by the people.
And this is the first time you've admitted this?
This is the first time I admitted it, yes.
Wow, so that's something. Now, you got 17 Bitcoins. How many in total were taken?
I think I got the most of them. So there were some small amounts taken later, but I think this was less than a Bitcoin or so.
Wow, so you just sent them back, never sent a message of any kind. They have no idea.
Yes.
That's amazing. So here they thought someone was just being nice, but you were actually just returning it.
They knew that I was returning it because I sent it from the wallet where I sweep the Bitcoins.
Of course, I should have thought of that. Did you ever see, did they make any public statements about that?
Well, at least in the thread, they were announcing that the money had been returned. Yes.
And that's really interesting now that I think about it. You know, I know white hats who are just trying to show that different sites or systems or whatever are insecure. They break in and try to announce it. And, you know, sometimes they're prosecuted as hackers. You know, in the United States, at least there's legalities that say you're not supposed to do that. And it makes me wonder about the legalities of finding issues with private keys and taking the money and then returning it.
Yes, this is, of course, a difficult problem. When I wrote the program, I mainly wrote it because I was interested in the technical part. Maybe it was also a bit that one could take the money from these addresses, but the main motivation was the technical part. And then it was also a kind of a race who could swipe the address first. So there were other people swiping these addresses, and I was kind of jealous that they swiped so much money.
Sure, just the human wanting to be the best at it, I guess.
Yes. And then I found, with this counter wallet, I think it was one big coin with more than 10 bitcoins. So one output with more than 10 bitcoins in it, and several small ones that also added up to, I think, 5 bitcoins. And I immediately sweeped this address clean because it was a race.
So again, just to understand, so you know the private key to do this. You are able to figure out the private key.
Yes, I have the script, I run the script, and it prints out the private keys of the addresses.
So I guess in theory, you could import that private key into their counter wallet, and if they were to control assets, like not just own assets, but be the issuer of a counterparty asset, you know, and there's a lot of companies doing things on counterparty, you could own that asset, basically.
Probably. I'm not sure. I didn't look into counter wallet, actually.
Okay. It's probably one of the few things I know more about than others.
I know as good as nothing about it. I just knew that it was counter wallet. I looked up some of the addresses. I searched for it. And then I found the counter wallet website when I searched for the address. And then I knew it was related to counter wallet. I actually posted on the Bitcoin forum that this is the start of this thread, the first message in the thread, that there were some new reused R values.
Is this using a different handle on Bitcoin Talk or your same handle?
I used this same handle. So I started this thread reused R values, and I posted that there were some addresses revealing their private key, and I put a list of all broken addresses on it. At that time, it still fit in one message of Bitcoin Talk.
Have you communicated on Bitcoin Talk or any other communications channels with anyone else who's doing what you're doing? Anyone you're racing against?
There was some other user. In another topic, he admitted that he had taken some of the money that was sent to a broken counter wallet address. You can follow where the money was sent to. And then I saw that this was some person who I was watching for a longer time.
Do you remember why you were watching?
I remember it as addresses. So I always look, if the money is going away, I look where it went to. And it went to the same address. So I knew that he was also racing against me. And during this topic, I actually talked a bit with him.
Uh-huh.
So he has a bot that can do it automatically. So this is the reason why I often lose the race.
And you did this, you talked to him just private messages on Bitcoin Talk?
Partly in this forum, in this reused R values post, which already goes over 20 pages or so.
Okay. But all communication was somehow on Bitcoin Talk.
Yes.
That's where everything happens.
But he don't want to pay it back.
He doesn't.
He wrote it several times.
So he has not paid it back, anything.
No.
And so are people aware of this, that this person on Bitcoin Talk has been stealing and not returning it? Or has he just admitted that to you?
I think he wrote it in the one thread where he said, I have taken it. I don't want to return it.
What was the reaction?
They weren't so happy with it, no. I think it was 0.02 bitcoins or something like that. But of course, he did take more over the time. I still want to do a statistic how much money went to which address during this incident with blockchain.
How much, you mean, was taken to each
address? How much was taken, how much I took. I know how much I took, but I'm curious how much was actually taken at all.
Do you have any rough guess or sense or no idea?
I started to write a script. I can look if it produced a result now. So I saw that one address, yeah, I have to sum up the amount that I see here, but it were about 30 bitcoins that one other person took. He is easily to spot because he uses similar addresses. They all start with 1AA or 1XY.
Is that just bravado, just to create addresses like that?
There are programs that do it for you. You just say, I want addresses with XY, and then it generates addresses and addresses, and if it finds one with XY, it prints it out.
Today's magic word is entropy. E-N-T-R-O-P-Y. Use the magic word to claim your share of this week's LTB coin distribution on letstalkbitcoin.com.
I'm not sure how much I made the news, so I searched for it and then I found something, but I don't know how visible it was from a neutral perspective.
I get a lot of my news with the Zero Block app. It has all the popular Bitcoin news sites and also finds when other news sites or whatever talk about Bitcoin. So I felt pretty well aware of what you were doing and just kept reading about R values and and then the news when you got a whole bunch more, the second recent five or 600 Bitcoins. So
I think it wasn't so well understood that it was still the same addresses that were broken on Monday. So it was just the money that was lying there around for a week and waiting to be collected.
So it was there the whole time, you just hadn't gotten to it yet?
Yes. If I had, I had a cold in this week, so I was knocked out on Wednesday and Thursday completely. And so I couldn't work on anything.
You're saying you were sick and that's why it took two more days for you to get the rest?
I'm not sure. But of course, I also have a job that I have to do if I'm not sick.
Sure. No, I just think it's funny.
But on Sunday, it was, yes, I have nothing to do. What can we do? Try to break the random number generator and find if we can find more Bitcoins.
Surprised your competition from Bitcoin Talk wasn't grabbing those. Yes. Why wasn't he? What do you think?
The one which I had talked now, he said he didn't understand what was the bug in the random number generator. He looked at it and he didn't understand. He saw these math random and he didn't know how math random worked. He didn't know that these math random codes were actually useless because of the bug.
I'm not even sure your smart random codes, what?
So math random, mathematics random. There's the Bitcoin random number generator. They use cryptographic secure randoms, and if they can't find them, they use the usual random functions from JavaScript for random numbers.
So the cryptographically secure random number generator, is that something that a chip produces and it's built in? Or
it's usually something that the operation system collects. So it produces them from timing of keystrokes and mouse movement and everything. So these numbers are quite good. But not every browser supports giving these numbers out. So they also have the fallback to the usual random number. And he tried to look into this code and he thought this was the problem, but in reality it was the problem was that these numbers were not really collected by some bug. So in the end they only had one single byte of random numbers, and this was not enough to have a secure random number.
Do you have programs that can just look at a series of numbers and say how random they are?
There are some programs for it, but it doesn't really help in this case. So the stream looks random. The problem is, to get a random stream, you need two things. You need something that scrambles the bits enough so that it looks random, but you also need what is called entropy. You need true random inputs, maybe from hardware, maybe from the current time. Of course, the current time is very weak.
Now, when you say scramble something, you're sounds like you're talking about encrypting something. Is that correct? Or
for example, if you encrypt a string, it looks random. One usually uses such a step to produce random numbers to make them look more random. if you have some weak random numbers, you basically run them through some procedure that encrypts them, and then they are more random or something like that, or that compresses them, and then you have good random numbers. But of course, you need somehow to get random numbers in the first place. And they didn't get random numbers in the first place. They only got 8 bits. This is not enough. So basically everyone got the same random numbers. This bug was present all the time, and it just took me, I think, on... I got back. I started at maybe 12 or p.m. or 1 a.m. I'm not used to American ways of giving the time.
You can say it your way.
1300.
Okay. Yeah, we know. We can figure that out. Oh, you're saying bug? Which bug are you referring to?
This second bunch of these 600 coins.
Had been around since you discovered the first one.
Yes, and I just thought, yes, it would be fun just to sit on it, and it took 3 hours until I knew how the random number generator, I could reproduce the random numbers, and then it took all evening, I think another hour before I broke the first address and started transferring the money. And I think I refined this all the evening, and in the end I got these 500 bitcoins in the first day on Sunday. It was all money that was already endangered on Monday, and it was just waiting for someone to find out how the random number generator works.
Maybe no one's as smart as you. No one would have figured it out.
They are. I think they know, found out how it works. At least there was some discussion on it, and I think the secret is out.
Does blockchain.info, at all ask you what you're doing so they can do it themselves?
I sent them some of my scripts. So when I broke the random number generator, I sent them the script that searches the blockchains and looks for transactions with bad random numbers and computes the private keys from them. And I also sent them the private keys so that they can actually set up a program that automatically sweeps the address when new coins arrive. I don't have this. I think maybe I need such a program now.
So you'd mentioned that Coinbase contacted you. Are you okay with me saying that, or do you want me to edit that out?
Maybe I should provide a bit of context. So they wanted basically to know what was happening. So it wasn't the most technical guy, but he had some technical knowledge of Coinbase, and he basically wanted to know a bit how this happens, if this could happen to Coinbase themselves. We also talked about how that works with Coinbase. So Coinbase is a bit different from blockchain because they have the keys. So with blockchain, the owner of the account is the only one who can access the private keys. With Coinbase, they hold the keys. They can also send it to a cold wallet. So they have some cold wallets where the key has never been on a computer that is connected to the internet. So they generate the keys in an air-gapped room on a computer that is not connected to the internet. They put the public keys of this key on USB stick or something like that, or some device. And then they put the public keys on the web server so that they can send the money to this cold wallet to keep it secure. And I also asked him what would happen if they detect a transaction that wasn't supposed to be sent. So, for example, if I can break some of their private keys because they use weak random numbers, what would happen if I do it? Would they even detect it? And they said they look for such things, so they should see it and send out a warning to the admins immediately, and they can decide whether this warning is a real threat, and if yes, they stop all the payments and they put all the money in secure storage.
What was this guy's position? Because it sounds like he's really sold you on their services.
Yeah, probably.
Interesting. So I guess still people are a little uncomfortable with giving too much money to a centralized...
Yes, of course, always a problem. So if you put the money on the service, you have to trust that this service is honest and that the service will live. So if it goes into bankruptcy, then the money is lost. You don't have the money yourself.
It's reassuring to hear their, you know, good practices. I guess there's the other fears that remain.
Yeah, of course. And it's, of course, two totally different views on it. So with blockchain, you own the money and they only provide the software. And with Coinbase, they own the money, or they keep the money for you. In principle, you still, of course, you still own it, but you have to, you have to get back to them to get to your money. With blockchain, you can also get the money from your backup or something like that, or your paper backup.
I do have money on Coinbase myself, and I have small amounts on blockchain. I do have paper wallets, and I check them every once in a while when it's been a few months. I'm like, oh, maybe my random number generator wasn't good enough. And oh, good, the value's still there, which was admittedly partly why I was asking you if you go back and look at old addresses. I'm wondering if it's been tested already.
Yes. So I look for all the R values, so I can assure you that at least there was no duplicated R value. I cannot see if there's a weak R value without knowing what weak means. So basically every random number is weak if it's published somewhere. And the random numbers that blockchain generated were not looking weak when you have the source code, or if 1,000 people were executing the same bad random number generator, that it was obvious that it was weak.
Okay. So it's the scale that allows you to really see it.
Yes.
Thank you for talking to me so long, Johan. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for letting me talk. I think I had to talk about this to someone who listens to it. So most people I know, that they don't really understand it.
Are you living in a world where no one in your life really is a Bitcoin fan?
Yes. I think I don't know any people in my vicinity who are into Bitcoins. At least they didn't admit it.
There's not a meetup in your area or a group or anything like that?
Maybe I should look for it.
You should. You'll be they'll be so excited to have you join.
Yeah.
Well, you take care, and it'll be exciting to see what you do next. And I really do appreciate you talking to me. I was really excited that you were willing to. I feel more like a journalist going out and talking to someone that no one's heard from before. So.
Yes, thank you. It was a new experience for me, of course.
You might have a lot more coming up in your future. I don't know. Thanks for making me the first.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, you have a good night.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to The Bitcoin Game. Please follow this podcast on Twitter at TheBTCGame. And you can find a listing of all my past episodes at thebitcoingame.com. See you next time.